am Addison. If y'all have not met me, I know a lot of y'all are like, who the heck is up there right now? My name is Addison, and so I am excited to be up here. I am a resident this year for the Wake team, and so I get to hang out with the staff, with Sean and Ryan and Rebe and Jonathan, and kind of help them serve you. And so I'm excited to be up here today and teach and continue our series, Resolve. And so to give y'all some more like background on who I am, I brought a picture with me. And so that is me in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Are there any hog fans? There's that many. Wow. It's like a whole four of y'all. So that's great. That is in Arkansas. That is in front of the basketball arena. And so that is my wife and my dog. And we named my dog after the basketball arena there. Fun fact. And so we are big hog fans. But Bud Walton, that is the name. Yeah. And so I'm excited to continue the series and actually close out the series Resolve. And so if you have not been here the past couple weeks, I want to recap where we are in the series to kind of catch y'all up, and then we'll dive into it. And so the first week, Sean was up here, and he talked about a formula for friendship and a formula on how to be a good friend to others. And then the week after that, we talked about including others, breaking down the barriers between us and other people so that we can include them in our groups. And then last week, Jonathan talked about speaking truth in love, speaking truth to others and loving those people by speaking truth to them. And so this week, I got the fun short straw of talking about the thing that everyone loves to talk about the most, and that is conflict, which is not true. Not a lot of people like talking about conflict, but I'm actually pretty excited about it this week. And so I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into it. God, we thank you for allowing us to be here, bringing us in a room together to worship you. Lord, I pray that it is not my words today, it is not my ideas, but it is your words and your ideas. Because we know that you can change people's lives, not us, but you. We love you, we thank you. In your holy name, amen. All right, so the first thing I wanted to do before I really jumped into the meat of it is to lay a foundation for what we're going to talk about. And it's going to answer the question, why is this important? Why is it important that we're talking about conflict? And it's because conflict happens so often in our lives. Everywhere in our lives, conflict is. And it seems like it's more and more and more every day. Like if you went home, or I'm sure that y'all have like heard your parents watching the news, all the news is at this point is like just some people having conflict and people talking about people having conflict. Like reality TV shows, right? Reality TV shows are literally like made with the purpose of like just having conflict and to show people having conflict because we like to see people having conflict. Or comment sections, like YouTube comment sections or Twitter or whatever. Like the premise of that is conflict. People are just in conflict. So it is all around us. And here's what I am afraid of. I am afraid that we are living in a world where there's more and more conflict all around us, and we are getting more and more used to having conflict, but there's also more and more ways to hide from the conflict, and we are having less and less ways to deal with the conflict. Less and less people know how to actually resolve conflict, and that is scary to me. And so, as Christians, we actually have this cool opportunity where in a world where no one really knows how to deal with conflict or less people do, we can stick out by how we deal with conflict with one another. It is an opportunity for us to be different than the world. And it's not my idea. Like, I'm not just saying that. It is biblical. It is biblical. And so a lot of times in a lot of weeks, we will kind of walk through a story or a passage of the Bible. And this week, we're not going to do that. We're actually going to go verse by verse in different books and different chapters, because I think it's important that we understand that it is not just one or two stories. It is a theme in the Bible. Like, it is a big deal. It's all throughout the Bible, different books, different chapters. It is important. And God cares about us being peacemakers and us resolving conflict. So Ephesians 4:3 says this, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Every effort. And Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And Matthew says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And I'm no expert, but those seem to tell me that it is probably pretty important that we are peacemakers. And the first point I'm going to make today, and this is actually the most important point. If you have like a journal, write this down. If you are hearing nothing else from this, if you're about to check out on your phone, hear this point before you do. Conflict does not ruin friendships. Unresolved conflict does. Conflict does not ruin friendships. Unresolved conflict does. And here's why I say it's the most important point. Because so many of us, myself included, live the majority of our lives not believing that. We live the majority of our lives not thinking that conflict does not ruin friendships, but unresolved conflict does. And here's how I know this, because I've been in so many situations where I am in conflict with someone else, but I tell myself different things to get out of talking about it. And so this week, I sent a text to the other residents on the team, and we kind of made a list of things that we have told ourselves in the middle of conflict to try and get out of it. And I'm going to read that list. And while I'm reading it, think about if you've ever told yourself or thought these things. It will go away in a week. They probably don't even think it was as big of a deal as I do. It would make things worse if we talked about it. I'll get made fun of if I approach them. It's going to be awkward, and it's probably not even going to be worth it. It's going to ruin the chance of our friendship going back to normal. Or I'm overreacting. They don't like me. They won't like me if I approach them. Or my feelings don't even matter to them. And if you are like me and you have told yourself these things, please hear this. Those things are lies. They are not true. They are not true. They are lies. Because I know that, because here's the reality. A lot of us, myself included, and probably you even, can think of relationships that have been rotted or ruined because you had unresolved conflict, not because you had conflict. And so when I was making this message, I came up with a list of my own life, 5th grade through 10th grade, and I made a list of people that I had, at least for a time, rotted friendships with because of unresolved conflict. I literally have a list, like 5th grade, Brent Schroner, Austin Holt, Mason, 7th grade, Scotty Williams, and Ross. Like, these are actual people that I had rotted friendships with because of unresolved conflict. Not just regular conflict, unresolved conflict. The proof is all around us. Conflict does not ruin the relationship. It is unresolved conflict that does. And here's, I'm going to stop again and remind us. This is not Addison's idea. This is not my idea. This is God's idea. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away with you, along with malice, but be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And Matthew says it this way, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Go first and be reconciled. And then Hebrews says, strive for peace with everyone. God obviously wants us to know that this is important. It is important that we resolve conflict and are at peace with one another. It is important to God. And hear me say this as well, because I don't want y'all to leave and have unrealistic expectations about resolving conflict. It may be weird. It may be a little awkward going up to somebody, approaching them, and bringing up some type of conflict. It may be weird. It is definitely, definitely worth it. It is definitely worth it. So the second point I'm going to make is do not be a peace faker, be a peacemaker. And that is just kind of a funny way of saying this. There are right ways and there are wrong ways to deal with conflict. There are right ways and there are wrong ways. And the worst way to deal with conflict is to not deal with conflict. And that's kind of a funny saying as well, but it's true. The worst way to deal with conflict is to not deal with it at all. That is how you have unresolved conflict. That is how friendships become rotten. And when I was thinking about what I was going to share, and if I put myself in a middle schooler's shoes, what would be most helpful to me when I was y'all's age, I thought about having a clear, strategic plan on how to do this, how to talk about resolving conflict. And so I'm going to walk through these 8 A's on how to resolve conflict. I'm going to walk through the 8 A's of how to resolve conflict. There's going to be a slide on each one. If you're taking notes and I go a little fast, do not worry. You will get the notes. There's a slide at the end. It has all of them listed out, okay? So I might go a little fast, but that is okay. There's going to be scripture for each one. I'm not going to have time to read every single scripture, but I will talk about the point, okay? The first A is ask the Lord and others for self-awareness. Ask the Lord and others for self-awareness. Because almost always, we will handle things and go into things and go into situations, and we will not handle it perfectly. We often, almost always, will have some sort of fault in the conflict. And our first instinct most of the time is to not think that. I know that's true for myself, and that is pride. And is to go into a conflict and think, how dare they do this? How I cannot believe that they did this to me. I am in the right and they are in the wrong. But look and ask others and ask the Lord for self-awareness. And the second, address everyone as soon as possible. Do not wait. Do not wait. Because what this does, if you do not address everyone as soon as possible, it just gives you more time to then delay the conversation. If you say, okay, I'm going to give myself 2 days to talk to Joe about the fight we got in. And then in a day, you're going to be like, oh, maybe I'm going to give him 3 days, and then 4 days, and then 5 days. And then the next thing you know, you have a rotten friendship, and you have not had that conversation. Do not wait. Do it as soon as everyone is, everyone involved as soon as possible. The third A, admit you are wrong. James 4, 1 through 3 says this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they not come from your desires that battle within you? Admit you are wrong. And this is important because it sets the tone for the rest of the conversation. It sets the tone for the rest of the conversation. It is no longer, if you admit that you are wrong, it's going to be hard for you to think of this conversation as selfish, because you're admitting that you're wrong and you are taking a stance of humility. You are being humble in this conversation. It sets the tone for the rest of the conversation. And this kind of leads into the fourth point, the fourth A, which is apologize. Apologize. Humble confession moves people closer together. Humble confession moves people closer together. Apologize. The fifth A, ask forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Colossians says this, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And this can sound tedious. I know for myself, this is probably the part that I like to do the least, because it just sounds sometimes weird or extra. It's a little tedious. But hear this as well. It goes a long way to ask somebody for forgiveness. It goes a long way. It is impressive. Put yourselves in the other person's shoes. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody's asked forgiveness from you? It goes a long way. And then now the 6A is alter your behavior. Alter your behavior. And this is really key as well. This is key as well. It goes a long way as well to show someone your true heart by making the plans and effort to alter your behavior. Here's the thing. Like, this is so important, because we all know that guy. Maybe you're sitting next to him, you're like nudging him. We all know that guy who says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And he keeps apologizing for the same thing over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. That's probably me to some people. As like, some people probably think that's Addison. But that is a real thing. And it is frustrating. And it is frustrating. So you really show your true heart whenever you alter your behavior. Make a plan for how to change. Ask people to hold you accountable. Ask your small group to hold you accountable. Make a plan and alter your behavior. The seventh A, address your hurts. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens, you have won him over. This is important to do it humbly. And don't be the person who jumps straight to the seventh A. Do not be that person. I often want to be that person. I'm sure you often want to be that person who something happens to and you immediately go to them and you're like, hey, this hurt me and you were wrong and I can't believe you did that. You should apologize to me now. Do not do that, because you are missing out on what God could have for that relationship. But you do need to address your hurts eventually. Tell that person, hey, I know you may not have meant to do that. I know you may not have meant to do that. It might have been an accident. But whenever you did do that, it hurt me. It made me feel insignificant. I thought that you cared about our friendship less. It is important. the final A, ask for help if it does not work. Ask for help if it does not work. If you try to go to that person and you try to have this conversation and they don't want to talk to you, they don't want to acknowledge you, they don't want to do anything with you, they want no part of you, this is when you can take a step back and ask your friends, ask others, ask your small group leader, ask your small group what you should do. Ask them for guidance and bring other people in so that you can mend the relationship. And so the eight A's, I told you with the slide, it has all of them. I'll go over. Ask the Lord and others for self-awareness. Address everyone involved as soon as possible. Admit that you're wrong. Apologize. Ask for forgiveness. Alter your behavior. Address your hurts and ask for help if it does not work. Please, 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 please. That is an easy plan to go to somebody else and work through conflict with another person. It will mend your relationships. It is important. The key to all of this, I'm about to give you like the key that makes the engine go. The key to all of this is to view conflict as a constant opportunity. Conflict is our constant opportunity to glorify God. It is our constant opportunity to glorify God. When we make conflict about ourselves, which we often are tempted to do, when we make conflict about ourselves, we are missing out. We are missing out. Because if we make it about ourselves, we're either having conflict resolution because we want to be friends with a guy that we accidentally hurt his feelings because maybe he's popular and maybe we're going to get some type of boost in popularity from being friends with him. Or maybe if we make it about ourselves, we're just offended that they did something. And so we're going to go through these steps so we can get to point seven and so that they can apologize to me. So I feel better because they're going to apologize to me because I can't believe that they did that. Do not do that. That is a selfish way to view conflict. A selfish way to view conflict. And the reality is that we are going to miss out. If we do that, we miss out on what God wants for us in our relationships. We can miss out on what God wants for us in those relationships. A phrase I've heard, which is a kind of funny phrase, new to me this year in being in Watermark, is this question, are we whole? And it's kind of like, are we okay? Are we good? Like, did I offend you or something like that? That's when somebody asks, are we whole? And I kind of thought it was funny at first. And then I started thinking about it. Like, why do we say that? Why is that a phrase? Are we whole? And here's why I think it is. Unresolved conflict will break relationships and make them a fraction of what they could be. A fraction of what they could be. When we are not whole, our relationships with one another are just a fraction of what they could be and what God wants them to be. We're missing out on the plan and what God could do in our relationships if we are not whole. God went to great lengths to make peace with us through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, through his blood. He went to great lengths. He sent his only son. That whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And he lived a perfect life and then was killed on the cross. The worst death anyone could have after living a perfect life, undeserved of that death. And if we believe in him, we can have eternal life. God went to great lengths to make that peace with us. And so the least we can do is to go to our friends and embrace the little bit of weirdness or awkwardness and try to mend those relationships. God calls us to go to great lengths to mend our relationships and have peace with one another. Great lengths. And so this is where I'm going to take a step back and remind us of the point of this talk, the point of me being up here. It's not so that Addison can make a good point. It's not so the Wake staff can have everyone be friends and be a jolly good time together and then go and play Foursquare. It's not that. It is we care about you. We want the best thing for you. And we think and we know because God's word tells us that we are to be peacemakers, mending conflict, mending relationships, and resolving to be at peace with one another, resolving to be at peace with one another. And so in a second, I'm going to pray and we are going to stand up and we're going to go and play air hockey or buy more Lay's chips or play ping pong Foursquare or whatever it is. We're going to go do that. But here's what I want to tell y'all. And here's my hope that while y'all leave, or after you leave, or maybe even when I just said at the beginning that this isn't going to be about conflict, there might have been a name that popped up in your head. There might have been somebody who popped in your head that you knew you had conflict with immediately. And go to that person and make a plan to talk with them and mend your relationship with. And so my hope is that while we leave and while I after I pray and when we go and are playing ping pong four square or air hockey, my hope is that we are constantly thinking about those people. My hope is that we are thinking about someone in your life, that you are thinking about somebody in your own life. Maybe it's the person sitting two seats down next to you that you can talk to because you need to mend your relationship with that person. Dear God, we are thankful for the gift of you sending your son to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. We are thankful for you placing us here in this room to hear this message, to hear our friends talk and hear about conflict resolution. We thank you for allowing us to be in a place that is meeting, allowing us to see other humans. We pray that this message is not Addison's ideas, not Addison's words, but your words, and that it is impactful in men's relationships and it leads to more glorification to you. We are thankful in your precious holy name. Amen.